Hello and welcome to the Green Room Golf Course podcast from the British and International Golf Greenkeepers Association. Thanks for listening to this podcast, which sheds a light upon the golf industry and what it takes to maintain a modern course. I hope you enjoy the show. Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. You may be aware, this week is Women and Girls Golf Week. It's an initiative launched by England Golf and supported by all the other home unions, the RNA and all the leading bodies in golf. The concept of the week is to promote golf as not only a fun game for all genders and ages, but also a career option for ladies in what has traditionally been a very male-dominated industry. Here at Bigger, we've got very few female members, numbering around just 20 in an association of almost 6,000 greenkeepers, and that's pretty representative of the overall greenkeeping industry. However, the ladies who do work in the profession speak of it with great affection, enjoying the lifestyle and the opportunities for career progression that it offers. One of those ladies is Caroline Munro, who works at Bonnybridge and Argyll Golf Club up in the Scottish Highlands. Caroline's the only greenkeeper working at the Nile Golf Club, and so all the responsibilities for the preparation of the course rest on her shoulders. Hers is a fascinating story, and I hope you enjoy our conversation, which was recorded when I dropped in to visit Caroline a couple of months ago. If you'd like more information about Women and Girls Golf Week, head to the England Golf website. There's a link in the show notes, and you can also read Caroline's story in the July edition of Greenkeeper International. Okay, here we go with this week's episode. Can you tell me a little bit what about Bonnybridge? It seems like a small community. How many people live there?
There's, I think, 1,500.
1,500?
Because it's scattered out about between, like, Bonnybridge and Argyll, which is a mile away. So
yeah,
it's, like, 1,500 that kind of live.
And up on the hills and farms and that sort of thing?
Yeah, Crofts.
Crofts
up here, yeah. So everybody's got a bit of land. So you have, like, 185 Migdale and 167 Migdale, and everything's split into little crofts.
Wow, is this quite a sense of community then, when you all come together?
It's like you do your shearing and your dipping and dozing and all that. Everyone gets together and helps each other. And
oh, really?
Your hay and stuff like that. Yeah.
Do you help out on the crofts then?
I used to help my uncle on his croft.
Yeah.
So you did lambing and all that.
You do this
shearing
You do this full time now.
Yeah. This is full time, but like he doesn't have any sheep anymore, so but yeah, we used to have to stand in the bags when the fleece would come off the sheep that gets rolled, and then it would get in bags, so you used to hang them from the rafters and you'd use them as a swing, so like the bairns used to get to go in them and you had to like pack them down.
Yeah.
So you'd be swinging back and forth in these big bags.
Wow. Yeah. So that's quite a would you describe it as quite a rural life?
Without a doubt.
Yeah, a classic life.
Yeah. It's all about being outside.
Absolutely, everything here is about being outside. Is there like a festival or a celebration or anything during the year where the community comes together? Is there anything
We've
like that?
We've got Gala Week.
Gala Week?
Yeah.
What happens during Gala Week?
We've got like the raft race, we've got like space hopper races, wheelbarrow race.
Traditional things then.
Yeah. We've got a treasure hunt, whist dances, pet show, the controversial baby show's gone, there's a fruit and veg show.
The baby show is controversial.
Oh, there's always, everybody thinks their baby's beautiful, don't they? What else goes on in Gala Week?
Is it on a golf course, no?
Eh?
Is it on a golf
course? Yeah, we put on, like, usually it's a par 3 competition, or we've had a ladies' night, or we're hosting the darts this year in the clubhouse. There's a quiz as well. Usually have, like, a fun day on the football pitch there. Yeah.
That's brilliant. What's the sort of major industry now? Is it still that?
Well, the major employer is probably Skibo Castle.
Castle?
Like, the castle at Skibo.
Yeah.
So that's probably the major employer in the area. And then you've got Ardguy Game, Okay. And then tourist sort of stuff.
Okay.
Would be the next biggest employer.
How did you get into greenkeeping then?
Work experience at school. I went to Goldsby High School, and you got a in third year you got a week's work experience. And this is going to sound so shallow, but the boy that I fancied was doing work experience at Royal Dornoch, so I put my name down
good on you.
For that. And then the dad was Robert Patterson at Royal that's at Royal Aberdeen now, but he was the head greenkeeper at Dornoch when I went and did work experience.
Yeah.
So I did a week's work experience and thoroughly enjoyed it, and then asked for a summer job. So I did 6 weeks in the summer, and at the end of that he asked if I would like to start full time.
Yeah.
But I couldn't, I was only 15, I had to go back to school. So I did another year at school, and all holidays, each holidays I went to Dornoch.
So what was the boy's name? Is he still a greenkeeper?
No, he's not a greenkeeper, he's an architect. Ian McPherson was his name.
Ian McPherson. And he's an architect, we'll find him. We'll track him down.
I think he stays in Inverness. Not that I'm stalking him on social media or anything.
I mean, you must have enjoyed the greenkeeping straight away because you just stayed into it.
Yeah.
You know, thought, this is what I want to do for a career. What was it about it that you liked?
Just being outside.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, I just like cutting grass. I just like, there's a satisfaction in getting that. Lines and just the kind of and the smell of grass and
absolutely
what's
life like here at the golf club? Is it, how many members have you got?
Yvonne, how many members have we got? Is it like 100?
No,
150 I thought, maybe. I don't know.
Right, okay.
I don't know, do you think it's as many as 180?
Is that healthy? Is that a good amount?
Not really, it just about covers my wages. We could do with a few more, because the membership's only 200 and something, so it's not an expensive place to join.
Okay, so what's the cost like?
Well, it's a kind of heathland, parkland kind of, so a lot of heather once you get further. Like the first is a bit kind of, it's not much, but then you turn the corner and you're looking down onto Loch Migdale and you've got purple heather down both sides. And it's tree lined throughout. Which we're trying to, there's nothing being done to the trees in the years before me, so it's a major task trying to thin them out and trying to get control.
How long have you been here?
This is my ninth year. I'm starting.
Wow, it's nine holes.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And it's the heather, and that's, so you're obviously not doing all that tree removal yourself, getting contracts.
My dad.
Your dad. There you go. It's a family. Like you said, it's a family affair.
He's got a tree shears. So he comes out with his digger and cuts them down. And then he's got a wood processing plant, so we then process the wood and sell the sticks.
I'm just looking, female carer, female greenkeeper. Mm-hmm. Is this a club entirely run by women?
Yeah, pretty much.
Are there any men in any roles?
Yeah, Terry Jones is the club captain. But the women run everything, they're the driving force of the ladies.
Yeah.
Their committee make the money for the golf club,
Right.
They're the ones that kind of, you know. But myself and Yvonne, we are on the fundraising committee.
Yeah.
The men are on the main committee.
Yeah.
But it's a female greens convener as well.
Really? Wow. And what's she called?
Jeannie Hunter.
Jeannie Hunter, what's she like to work with?
She's very good. Yeah.
And what's your male-female golf membership like? Is it mainly men or is it?
I would say it's probably kind of much about the same. Well, probably slightly, maybe more, maybe 60-40 to the men.
Well, that's massive compared to the national average, isn't it? So what is it? That is, you know, a lot of women playing golf here. What is it? Are they attracted to the fact you're running the place in terms of the course?
I think they like the course. I think it's, you know, it's nine holes, and the ladies do. A nine-hole competition, you don't have to play all 18, so they may be a bit more accommodating to the fact that you're getting older and can't manage the whole thing. So
any tips for attracting female golfers to your club?
I think probably most male greenkeepers don't cater for the female. You know, you go to most courses and probably, they don't think about where the ladies' markers are going, or kind of,
yeah,
they're an afterthought, whereas because I probably tend to go the other way and I think more about the female setup than I do maybe about the male. I don't know. It's just when you're always playing, because like I go out and play off the men's tees so that I get an idea of what the course plays like from their thing. So I think, you ask any male greenkeeper, has he ever gone and played off the ladies? I don't reckon any of them have ever played off the ladies. You know, so like there could be bushes in their way or there could be things that you're not seeing, because like you do, you get kind of blind, isn't it, to what's on your course. So I think it is like you have to go and play it from the white tees or play it from the reds to see what it's like. To see what
that's really interesting.
You know, and maybe use their clubs that they're going to land in. So like as a man, if you were out and played off the ladies' tees, don't hit your driver off a tee, hit what you think a lady might hit. So they're going to hit maybe what, 140, 150 yards. So if you, it's a totally different course. It's not the same from the ladies' tees.
Yeah.
You know, so it's
interesting.
Well, it's just a different way of looking at it, isn't it?
It's like,
really good. Well, you find you're right. Off your tee, you've got a lot of your best features, aren't they? The first carry, and you'll find the ladies are just plunked at the start of the fairway, aren't they? Just right there, and you've missed that entire character of the course. So that's really interesting.
What's done? Callan's a pretty good golfer as well. So
not at all. I play on 19. I'm not a good golfer.
You're better than me.
I got my name on the board.
There you go. So.
Club champion.
I did. I last year.
Oh, well played.
See.
Beat my auntie in the final. She's lady captain.
Brilliant.
Yvonne's my cousin.
See, we are very far north. What's your growing season like? Is it very short? Where are you at now in terms of middle of April?
It's just starting.
Just starting.
You can see it's... This year, there is a lot of moss because of the drought last year. Anywhere that we've had bare areas, the moss has just taken over. It's just horrific. So the growing season, it's just starting to kick in.
What irrigation do you have here?
I have, what do you call it? Hydrants at the side of each green.
Okay.
That's it.
You must have been doing quite a lot.
So I've got a wee sprinkler.
Yeah.
So you can run three greens at once. So in the drought last year, applied the wetting agent that we've got, because we don't have a sprayer, so it's like just the pellet.
Yeah.
So out and did that, and then gave them a 7-hour soak each, and that's it. We can't afford to...
Where's the water come from?
It's mains.
Mains. Okay. So it's expensive.
And that was it. So that's all they got in the drought.
Did it keep them alive? Were they okay?
It kept them alive. It didn't do much else, but it kept them alive.
Yeah. I'd like to take a break from our conversation with Caroline to tell you about a fantastic new benefit that's available to all Greenkeeper members of Bigger. Many small businesses don't have a dedicated HR professional as part of their staff. They're seen as a luxury that you just can't afford. And as such, matters such as employment handbooks, staff development and training, complaints and feedback, hiring the right individuals or overworking will be swept under the carpet and not dealt with effectively, making for a less than ideal working environment. Bigger has teamed up with Exact to provide every member with access to free help and advice that will make your workplace a more professional and positive environment. A team of qualified advisors will be on hand to assist Bigger members with any HR problems that arise, with instant advice just a phone call away. The advisors can help from the very early stages through to the conclusion of the matter, and telephone and email advice is available for each case. The helplines are available from 9 till 5 Monday to Friday. The service is completely confidential and no contact will be made with your employer. The only thing they'll ask for when you call are your full name, your start date at your current employer, and your Bigger membership number, just to make sure that your membership is still active. You can head to the Bigger website to find out more, and there's a link in the show notes. Okay, let's head back to our conversation with Caroline at Bona Bridge and our guy. So what's the temperature get like here overnight? You must have sharp temperature drops and that.
We've had frost like every night this week so far. Yeah.
Did you have snow last week?
Yeah, we sure did. We had snow, was it Wednesday? Wednesday night it snowed. And like I'll be phoning Brora and James will be like, what are you on the day? And I'm like, I'm in the shed painting. You're not outside. It's like, hey, we've got snow. Or frost or...
Yeah.
Like it's completely different once you come that wee bit further inland.
Much higher, I imagine.
We're higher and we don't have the sea keeping us that wee bit warmer. So
yeah, if I was to write a piece about this spot, what would be the one thing that I have to mention that I couldn't miss out on?
That's got to be the scenery, isn't it?
The scenery. It's absolutely stunning, yeah. How do you find it working on your own throughout the year? It must be, in the middle of winter, it must be pretty...
That's why I got the dog.
Sorry. What's the dog called?
Boots.
Boots.
Yeah, so right. The dog's company.
Yeah.
But the thing is, there's nobody to argue with. That's one of the good things about it.
That's fair enough. Yeah.
But no, it is. It's, I have Tuesday helpers. So like
Tuesday helpers?
Yeah, the older boys, they come out. They've been out every Tuesday throughout the winter.
Oh, brilliant.
And they give me a hand doing the kind of major projects and that. There's like a kind of group of six. So you can have anything from one of them to all of them that'll come. So
okay.
You just kind of decide on the day how many you've got and what jobs you're going to do. So.
And they obviously enjoy it. That's
yeah, yeah. Well, they like to see an improvement on the golf course, you know. Yeah. It's like, if they come and give a hand, then it's only going to look better, isn't it?
It's funny that a few spots that I've spoken to, and they do get the members involved and that sort of thing. It seems to have a real benefit.
It gives them ownership of it, I think. You know, yeah. If they're seen, like this year is the first year that they allowed winter greens, and they saw the benefit in it. The greens have never looked this good coming into the spring. Like, this is just amazing. So, you know, they've seen the benefit of it, and... It'll not be an argument next year when I ask. You know,
that's fair enough, yeah.
You know, so...
It's giving them a good rest over winter.
Yeah, because they just ignore... Like, you put the sign out going, it's frosty, you're not allowed on, and they just go off and play, and they just ignore you, so it's like, oh, well, okay.
Fair enough. We're doing a big push now to say, you know, it's a profession for both genders. There's no reason why ladies can't get involved with it. So, you know, how would you respond to that?
Well, there is. I mean, It's not as physical a job as it used to be. Mm. Like, when I first started, we walked everywhere. We, you know, you lifted everything. It's like, there's so much of the greenkeeping now has been mechanised that it's definitely not, you know what I mean? You don't have to be 6'6" and,
absolutely,
you know, with a six-pack to be a greenkeeper.
And very few of them are. Very few of the men are. Never mind. Yeah. Yeah.
As long as you're physically fit, you know, the heaviest thing you're doing is humping your 20 kg bags or your units when you're lifting your units. But I mean, again, you can, there's ways and means around.
And your daughter, what's she called?
Karen. Karen.
C-A-R-R-O-N. That's an interesting spelling.
It's like the river.
Okay.
There's a river Karen runs through here.
Oh, okay.
So, like,
all right, nice.
Just above, well, if you... Where Boner Bridge is, and then just above it, you can see the Karen runs into the pile.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. And she helps. Does she help you out regular?
Last year she had, I had her for 15 hours. I think it was. They could afford to pay a helper. So. For the season, so that was between.
Is that like an hour a week or something?
Wasn't.
Wow.
But then I pay her myself a bit extra, you know.
Pocket money.
Mhm.
Does she enjoy it?
Yeah, she likes it, yeah. She doesn't like... The only job she doesn't like is putting the marker back in. So
yeah.
She doesn't like doing that because she never quite gets it aiming in the right direction.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. We all get that wrong.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Everything else, she enjoys it, yeah.
Yeah, you're a bigger member. Right. Do you engage with the community then? Guys around and...
I have
sort of
tried much more to be more proactive this last while and attend
events. What's your thinking behind in that?
Just so that you can get a chance to chat to other folk and, you know, be a bit more involved. And
there's always been quite a strong community here anyway, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah, they're very good. So, I have a Super 500 because we got wind farm money. So I bought a Super 500. So James Macbeth Brora borrows it, Ian McLeod Tain, and Mike...
Port Mahomick.
Mikey. Well done.
So they borrow yours and you borrow bits of their equipment and that.
So yeah, so we try very much to kind of help each other out. So like I get Tane's top dresser, James's greens roller, Invergordon. We kind of share. Like deliveries on our fertilizer and stuff like that, and like I just nip down there and pick it up from him.
Yeah.
And he's come up and sprayed for me when I've had like Fusarium and stuff like that, and I've gone down and helped him. So,
there's no sense of a competition between the clubs or anything like
that? Oh, no. Like, and Ian Riddle's very good at Dornoch as well.
Yeah.
Get his turf cutter and stuff. So, like, they are good at helping you out if you're...
Dornoch being the wealthiest club, probably. Well, Skibo maybe, but they're very helpful, aren't they?
Oh, aye, yeah. And Skibo as well. I've been in there and have their pro core and things like that, you know. What do you call it? Their Scots spreader borrowed that.
Yeah.
So, yes, everybody's, you know, very good. But again, when you're on your own, it's like it's balancing how many days you take off and where you go. So it's like...
Yeah, you know, I imagine you're pretty full on during the summer.
Oh, right? Yeah. It's a grass factory.
What are you growing? What are your actual grasses out here?
Predominantly rye, on the fairways. And it's a mix on the greens of, like... fescues and rye.
What's this? Because it's heath and that sort of thing. What's this soil like? Is it
heavy?
Very heavy soil. So when it does rain, it.
Oh, it holds it. But
it holds it.
With the, having the Super 500 has made a difference. Trying to get rid of the moss and allow that, you know, filtration through the profile. I try and, you know, get a shot of the. The verti drain, well done. You know, try and verti drain as well, like once a year. It just depends on budget.
Yeah, fair.
Tane's one was broken down this year because I was going to get that, but they won't be able to get it back together. So, well, they got it going, but it was too late then to take it over here.
And we're so high, middle of winter, you must have some very short days.
It gets bright about 8:30 and then it's dark probably 3:30.
Yeah. Do you have problems with diseases then?
Yeah.
Under that snow? Oh, how do you fight that?
You just put iron down in the back end and
just
hope that it's...
Try and strengthen it back up.
Yeah. I was told by a great man, if you can't do anything else, just keep cutting. Like, if you've not got... Like, we don't have the machinery... we don't have stint meters and we don't have pogos and we don't have... greens irons or whatever, and he said all you can do is cut, just keep cutting.
Yeah.
You know, so like cut your greens every day, you know, stripe your fairways, do whatever, you know. So that's what I diamond cut all the tees and the fairways, and so it's just more about presentation, you know, that you, yes, we don't have everything and we can't do everything, we can't spray, you know, we've got daisies, we've got, you know, but golf, it looks good.
Golfers will tolerate that, right?
I think so, if the place is tidy. You know, if your greens are reasonable, that's what they remember. You know, and if it looks all right,
Gawlesby a few years back had a really bad flooding.
Oh, the storm damaged.
Everyone down and helped to improve it, so you get involved in that as well.
Oh, yeah, well, it was, as I say, it was, for me, it was the winter, and it was, I had hard frost, so... But anyway, even if I didn't have stuff, I would have gone over and, like, because they got a big payout, they got, like, new machinery, so they got a verti drain and everything because they were needing... So, like, I scored their old Sisus spiker and stuff like that. So, I mean, it was... Not that that's what you went over to help me for.
It's the only reason
I mean?
To help that.
I know, that's it. But it is. I mean, you know, if anybody's got anything like that, then you do. You go and help out. And it's... And I helped at the... Boys Internationals at Dornoch, so they were doing we had to be there for like 5 in the morning, so you went and did course set up there and then just came back and did your own work right after that, so you were there 5 till probably 9 and then back over here too, so that was like,
but that meant you could help,
but you know, as I say, it means that when you go into the shed and go, Ian, is it alright if I've ordered this, then you're not going, what do you want now? Well, no, you probably still get that, but it's not going to be, you know, quite as bad.
Yeah. Brilliant. What are your career ambitions then? Are you helping out? Are you happy here? Or?
The thing is, it's, for me, I was looking at maybe another 4 or 5 years here, and then I quite fancy just working the summer. So, I've got my CV on a website, and like I got a email from Holland going, do you fancy a job out here for 7 months? And I was thinking, oh, that would be quite good. But I just got new machines, so they're on a 5-year lease, so I got them last August. So I thought, I'm not leaving while I've got new machines. So, but I was thinking that would be quite good. Mm. You know, I'll be in my middle 40s. So I thought, you know, work the 7 months of the summer and then just have the winter off.
Yeah.
And so I thought that would be quite good, that you're not having to be out in the snow or the... I did think about going to Australia and New Zealand, but I'm too old. They'll only let you in on a working visa over there.
That's right. Yeah.
You've got to be like 30 or something. So,
brilliant.
Yeah, so I think that would be quite good. Just maybe down England or Spain or across the continent and just...
That's what you can do with Green Cupid, isn't it? You can work anywhere. Golf course is the same everywhere, aren't they?
Grass is grass. And grass is grass. Just whatever machinery they've got, you just go and get a wee lesson on it and then...
You're right. Perfect. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for chatting. That was really, really interesting. Thank you.
The Green Room Golf Course podcast is produced by myself, Carl Hansel, on behalf of the British and International Golf Greenkeepers Association. For questions, comments and concerns, you can get in touch with me by emailing carl@bigger.co.uk. That's Carl with a K. You can also join the conversation on social media using @greenroombigger. And we've also got a Facebook page where all the latest notices, news releases and information from Bigger can be found. We're also on Instagram using @bigger_HQ. Subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. The more people know about the sports turf industry, the more understanding they will have about the hard work of Bigger members and other greenkeepers. And speaking of Bigger membership, if you're inspired by what you hear to progress your career in greenkeeping, then a major first step is signing up to the association. The opportunities for career development are countless and potentially life-changing, such as volunteer opportunities at major tournaments and educational opportunities across Europe and the USA. Don't forget, if you're a golfer and you've got any questions about anything you hear on the podcast, have a conversation with the greenkeepers at your club. They've got the expertise to explain what's happening at the course and how it fits into the team's long-term vision to improve playability and enjoyment of the facility.